This episode of the Fresh Start Family Show is brought to you by our Quick Start Learning Bundle, how to build a compassionate, firm, and kind discipline toolkit that works with kids of all ages. Head to freshstartfamilyonline.com/discipline to grab your Quick Start Bundle so you can get going today on building up a strong, compassionate, discipline toolkit in your home. Well, hello, listeners. I am so happy that you are here for a new episode. I'm your host, Wendy Snyder, positive parenting educator and family life coach. And today on the show, we have Bethany Saltman, who is the author of a book called Strange Situation, A Mother's Journey into the Science of Attachment. And we're just going to be talking about what true attachment looks like in parenting. And I'm excited to bring this episode to you guys today because, you know, when I'm planning episodes and looking for guests, my team and I, we always just want to find people that we can have really just great, interesting conversations with. And when I found Bethany's work, I was really intrigued. At first, I thought, oh my goodness, attachment parenting, that feels like it has similar, you know, maybe, I don't know, similar threads to it as positive parenting. But I've always just thought attachment parenting is very, very different. And, you know, as I talk about in this episode with Bethany, not an expert at all on attachment parenting. Definitely my, root of expertise is in the positive parenting and family life coaching world. But I just always thought that it was parenting that was like, your kid is with you 24/7. You never put them down. They breastfeed 24/7 whenever they want. They sleep with you until they're like 16. I don't know. Of course, that's an exaggeration, but that's just what I always thought of when I thought of attachment parenting. Now, I'm sure some of you are listening and you're like, wait a second. I do attachment parenting. It's amazing. And of course, like we all do what works best for us. As moms, as parents, like that is the beauty of the messaging that we love to give here at Fresh Start Family. Like you do what works well for you, right? We just like to have great conversations. We like to encourage families to really learn and grow and expand their hearts and strengthen their family. And if things are feeling out of line, then find a way to create change in your home so it's not feeling out of line. We all deserve to parent in a way that feels truly in line with our moral compass, in line with our heart, that brings us joy and peace and confidence and connection each day in our home. But when I found Bethany's work, I was like, wow, that's interesting. It'd be cool to really have a conversation about attachment parenting. And so then when I got to know her work a little bit more, I realized, oh, okay, she's definitely, you know, has differences and just everything, right? So I'm like, oh, this is going to be a great conversation. So I just found it very intriguing to learn from her, what she's done. She's done a lot of research over the years. I'll kind of read to you about what her book was inspired by. She says, my book was inspired by the birth of my daughter in 2006, who I loved dearly, but feared I was failing. Why? Because I was still me. And not the kind of mother I'd hoped to become. So I spent 10 years teaching myself the science of attachment, traveling to labs, trainings, and archives, trying to discover what kind of mother I really was. And if I was not good enough, and if I was good enough for her. What I learned changed everything about how I thought of myself, my childhood, and the nature of love. So I think you're just going to enjoy this conversation. Like I said, Bethany just has some really unique angles, some unique thought processes, and I just think her book looks really fascinating. I haven't been able to read it yet, but it's definitely on my list to check out. So anyways, guys, thanks for being here. Thanks for listening. Let me know what you think about this episode. And as always, if you haven't pushed the little follow button on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts, thank you in advance for doing that. Once you hit subscribe or follow, it really helps us get seen in the iTunes world, just like reviews do. Reviews are a really big deal, guys. So if you are one of the many, many guests that sends me the nicest emails, thank you to everyone who takes time to send me emails of gratitude. I just got one the other day from a mom who said, I just want to let you know that I've been listening for a long time, just even your podcast episodes. I don't even know if she's in any of my paid programs, but she said, your podcast episodes just have changed my life. And the recent episode that you did with Alicia Grogan around the sensory topic, like it just absolutely opened my eyes to all these things that could be going on with my kid, in addition to just the parenting stuff that I'm working on cleaning up in my home. And she said, just thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And so those notes of gratitude mean so much to me. Thank you, guys. And if you have notes of gratitude and you feel like this show has really helped you, if you could put that into a review, it would mean so much for me, so much to me. It's just the best way to say thank you. And then you can screenshot it and send it to me. You know, like that's a great way if you want to send me a personal note of gratitude to put it into a review first and then just screenshot it before you send it. Then you can email me and we'll be able to have a really nice exchange via email, because I do love hearing from you guys. I love having personal conversations. Yes, we are a, you know, pretty large organization in the amount that we reach nowadays. We have a small team. We are a small family-run business with a small but mighty team. And we do have big numbers that we're reaching in the world now. And I always love connecting personally to you guys. So leaving a review, emailing me, wendy@freshstartfamilyonline.com is a great way to connect with me personally. Also, another great way is to connect with me on Instagram, you guys. I do a lot of teaching over on Instagram, free tips, inspiration, motivation, fun reels to get you just excited about practicing positive parenting, about learning and growing. And I love it when you send me DMs over there. I like to actually exchange personal voice memos whenever I can. So yeah, lots of different ways to kind of engage with me and have great conversations. I always love to hear from you, okay? By the way, if you're not on the email list yet, make sure that you are on there, you guys. The easiest way, head to the Fresh Start Family homepage, freshstartfamilyonline.com. We always have something free there for you to grab. Sometimes it's a free challenge. Sometimes it's a free workshop. Sometimes it's a free learning guide. I think right now it's our free guide to raising strong-willed kids with integrity without losing your mind. And so when you grab that free learning guide or hop into a free class of ours, then you automatically hop on our email list. And then I get to communicate with you on a weekly basis. I'll let you know when new podcast episodes are airing, when we have promotions or when we have free classes or events coming up. It's just a great way to stay updated on what we're doing here at Fresh Start Family. All right, you guys, well, help me welcome Bethany Saltman to the show. Enjoy.
Well, hey there, I'm Stella. Welcome to my mom and dad's podcast, The Fresh Start Family Show. We're so happy you're here. We're inspired by the ocean, Jesus, and rock and roll, and believe deeply in the true power of love and kindness. Together, we hope to inspire you to expand your heart, learn new tools, and strengthen your family. Enjoy the show!
Well, hey there, families, and welcome to a new episode of the Fresh Start Family Show. I am so excited to be here today with Bethany Saltman. Welcome, Bethany.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yes, we are going to be talking today, listeners, about attachment and about how it is not what you think it is. And Bethany is going to be just the most wonderful person to fill us with encouragement and support and wisdom in this area, because she is the author of a book called Strange Situation, A Mother's Journey into the Science of Attachment. And you're just a wealth of knowledge, and I can't wait to learn more about your story and everything about you, Bethany. So will you take a moment just to tell us a little bit more about yourself?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I am a writer and a mom of a beautiful teenage daughter named Azalea. She'll be 15 in January. And I'm also a longtime Zen practitioner. I met my husband in a Zen monastery. We considered becoming monastics, and we decided there is a very rigorous life. Being in a Zen monastery is the exact opposite of what people think of when they think of Zen. It's a lot of really hard work. You're dealing with a lot of inner turmoil. You're really dealing with your stuff. And it was very difficult for me, and I had some health stuff. And so we decided to leave, and we thought we would try to have a baby instead. That was our idea of, like, how can we really go deeply into what this life is about? Yeah. And so we left the monastery, and I became pregnant and had Azalea. And then when she was born, I was really confused by my own reactions, which were, I discovered that I was still myself. you know, to put it plainly. I had this fantasy that I was going to become this super patient, very tolerant. I was going to sort of be bathed in maternal sensitivity for myself. You know, I think I thought, I'm just now starting to think about this more, that the experience of becoming a mother would somehow mother myself. I would become my own, you know, warm and luscious maternal blanket.
Yes.
And in fact, the opposite happened. I was stressed to the max. I was exhausted. I was what I like to call understimulated. And, you know, it was really, really hard. And I was shocked that that becoming a mother, and I had really wanted to have Azalea. And I thought, what a terrible person I am to bring this child into the world and not be able to be the mother I want to be.
Yes.
So that was excruciating. And as a writer, I got an assignment to do a weekly or a monthly column on being a Buddhist mother. And so I started to do all of this research, and I loved writing the column. It was such a great opportunity. And I started to learn about attachment, which was distinct from Dr. Sears' attachment parenting, which I had heard about when Azalea was young, of course, and rejected pretty wholeheartedly. I felt like, you know, a checklist of behaviors just cannot be the way human beings are supposed to be raised. Mm-hmm. So I knew there was something wrong with that. And then I started to learn about attachment, the science of attachment, and this woman named Mary Ainsworth and her strange situation, the laboratory procedure that reveals a child's attachment pattern by the age of one. And I became very intrigued. And I actually have an MFA in poetry. I'm a poet by training.
That's so cool.
So the strange situation was like a poem to me. It was this tight little 20-minute comings and goings that revealed something so profound that I wanted to know everything there was to know about that. And Mary Ainsworth, the woman who created it. And so that's when I went on this 10-year journey into the science of attachment, into labs and archives and trainings to understand for myself what kind of mother I really am.
Wow, amazing. Well, first off, I love your daughter's name, Azalea. That's so beautiful.
Yeah, she wears it well.
Oh my gosh, so cool. And yeah, what a journey. I think so many listeners can probably relate to that, right? And of that, just that feeling of like, oh my gosh, is this really like, it's just so unexpected. And it brings up all of these emotions and this inner turmoil. And I mean, I suppose when you look at it, you're like, of course, raising a young human soul, birthing and raising a human soul would do that. But then when it really happens, you're like, oh my goodness. So I love that it sent you in this direction of just, you know, just personal development and growth, and it's beautiful. So tell us more. So let's just kick it right off, Bethany, with, you know, I love, as we were kind of chatting before we started pushing record, we talked about how so many people kind of get the wrong idea about what attachment is. So, and that's I'm in that camp. Like when people have asked me before, because as a positive parenting educator, they'll say, you know, what do you teach? And is it attachment? And honestly, I've always gotten a little bit of like, oh, no. And really, I'm not highly educated in attachment parenting. So I don't even know. But yeah. I've always just thought of it as like, it feels like a hard life of never having a separation between you and your child. And so I loved, you know, hearing about your work and this idea that it's not what we think it is. So tell us more, you know, and tell us more about your book and everything as far as this goes.
Absolutely. So Dr. Sears, who wrote the baby book, and his wife, Martha, and their whole huge family of attachment parenting experts, to be totally blunt, they really ruined hijacked the word attachment, and they've ruined it for people. So attachment is a behavioral system. We are all born with an attachment system, like digestion, like respiration. It's just part of who we are. We attach to a caregiver to keep us safe from harm, to keep us, you know, the reasons what attachment science discovered in the 1940s, 50s, 60s, and you know, today, is that from an evolutionary point of view, babies are born with feelings of desire and a longing to be close to a caregiver. And caregivers have a longing and a desire to be in proximity to their charges because we need to be close to a loving caregiver to keep us protected.
Yeah.
So our feelings of love have a great purpose, which is to keep us alive. So, you know, if we take that in, that's big news right there. Yeah. We love our babies because we are charged with keeping the human race going, you know? So attachment is something that's big and broad and beautiful and resilient as heck because, you know, if you think about like all the ways that we breathe or digest, and, you know, every person's digestion is so different and every person's breathing, you know, if you get tense, you breathe up here. If you relax, you breathe down there. We have different respiration, you know, rates. When you're sick, it goes this way. When you're tired, it goes this way. When you're young, when you're old, when you're overweight, when you're underweight, when you're on drugs, when you're not on drugs. It's endless the ways that we can be. The same is true for our attachment systems. So when Dr. Sears and his crew talk about attachment as something that happens or doesn't happen, he is not only wrong, but he is scaring vulnerable new parents, and it really makes me mad because shame and fear is the exact opposite of what every parent needs and deserves. We need support. We need to be educated about the big world of attachment that is our birthright. We are all going to attach to someone. It may be an optimal attachment. It may be what's called a secure attachment, where we feel comfortable that this person is going to show up for us when we need them most of the time. Great situation. If you've got that, you're lucky. Or it may be an insecure attachment where you get a little anxious if someone isn't giving you what you think you need right away, or you tend to avoid your relationships because you're afraid of being disappointed. But these are still organized patterns of attachment. There's nothing wrong with it. And we can always move ourselves more in a direction of security by becoming more present to ourselves in the present moment. And we can talk more about that. There is a kind of organized attachment that can happen when children are around parents who are really under an enormous amount of stress and are, you know, truly neglecting that child and abusing the child. Like, disorganization absolutely happens. But except for in cases of, you know, institutional neglect, where a child is in an orphanage staring at a ceiling for, you know, days on end, weeks on end, we're all attached. So Dr. Sears needs to stop saying that wearing slings, nursing on demand, co-sleeping, attuning to cries is what creates attachment.
Right.
Okay. So he just needs to stop. That's like saying, I can't think of a good example right now.
Yeah.
But you know, it's like saying eating is going to create your digestive system.
Right, yeah. Got it. Yes.
Designed for attachment. And we're going to do it in a whole bunch of different ways. But our bodies are forgiving. Our attachment systems are forgiving. We want to move toward resilience. That's what we do. So if everybody could take a big old breath and relax around this, then we'd all be more securely attached, frankly. And so, you know, the science is 100% certain that nursing has absolutely nothing to do with attachment. Mm. It's lovely in many ways, but it's not about attachment. Co-sleeping has absolutely nothing to do with attachment. Wearing your child has absolutely nothing to do with attachment. Furthermore, if you are a parent who hates the sling and needs 8 hours of sleep a night, needs to sleep train, needs their child in a different room, doesn't like to nurse, you know, all the things, puts your kids in front of a screen, you know, eats McDonald's.
Right.
This goes on. If you are able to delight in your child, and if that child is the apple of your eye and that kid knows it, your kid has a very good chance of being securely attached. Now, they may not have the best health if they're eating McDonald's every day. They may take a little break from the screen. But those are different issues.
That's so fascinating. Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely. It's so cool to learn all this and hear more about it, because I just look back at the first few years with my daughter, and we had the she's 12. She's 12. How old is Azalea?
14.
14. Okay, cool. So, she's amazing, and just is such a blessing. Like, is amazing. The reason why I'm a positive parenting educator is because she is such a gift and invited me into this world of personal development and just learning a new way. So, but back, when I look at like how we, our first few years of life, we had a very traumatic birth. Both of us, it's like a miracle we're alive. You did too?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I never realized what a big deal it was until a little bit later when I was like, dang, that was straight up trauma. Like absent birth, torn placenta. And I didn't see her for hours. And then she had colic really bad the first few months of her life. And then she was under, like, we called it the tanning booth, but she was under the she had jaundice the first four days. Yeah. And I was like, whoa, I never thought to myself, oh, I'm not attached and not like super stoked on this whole thing, but I struggled. Like those first few years, I struggled, and it wasn't until I found this work of like everything, right? I mean, we have so much in common, everything we're all about, but it's that I really started to understand how I can connect with my child, and it was on a very deep, vulnerable way of seeing her in an unconditional love light. It was actually slowing down to find empathy for her and change my paradigm around what she was all about and why she was misbehaving and all these things. But all I know is like we struggled with it. It was not a smooth, seamless thing. So
I feel ya.
Yeah, that's so interesting that we have some similarities there. I like how, I've heard you talk about how, experiencing all of our feelings is good. And that can, even when we talk about feelings in the home, as far as attachment goes, I mean, that is something that can really keep us attached, right? If we are actually
securely attached.
Yes.
I'm very much on this mission to help people's vocabulary.
Yeah.
Because it really matters. It really, really matters. We're all attached.
Let's chat for a hot sec, openly and honestly, about what your discipline toolkit looks like in your home right now. If you're anything like most parents, you're relying on the hand-me-down set you inherited. Timeouts, spankings, threatening of spankings, taking iPads away, 3-2-1 countdowns, groundings, taking away toys, e-bikes, iPhones, any or all of those kind of tactics that create a total relationship strain and don't even work long-term to end your child's misbehavior for good. Meaning, you might spank your child or send them to timeout today for being, air quotes, mean to their sister or disrespecting you, but then 3 days from now, they're repeating the same misbehavior, which causes you to flip your lid because you know they know better. I want to help you learn a new way so you can end the vicious cycle that's keeping you stuck as a parent and causing you to feel super frustrated that nothing is working to get your strong-willed, stubborn child to behave better. My team and I have recently completely refreshed our Compassionate Discipline Quick Start Learning Bundle to help you learn a new way to teach your kids important life lessons, a new way to help your children learn from their mistakes and take responsibility for their actions. You can just DM me the word shift over on Instagram. I'm at Fresh Start Wendy, and I'll personally send you a message with a link to download this free bundle. I'm going to help you shift out of a punishment mindset and into a compassionate discipline one where you fully trust that connection-based, firm and kind discipline tools are all you need to be a strong leader in your home who holds your kids responsible when they misbehave, but does it in a way where they are learning the vital life skills they are missing when they mess up. So again, just DM me the word shift over on Instagram. I'm at Fresh Start Wendy, or you can head to freshstartfamilyonline.com/discipline
Ellen to grab your free bundle now. I am so excited for you to shift out of feeling guilty and shameful when you lay your head on your pillow at night and shift into feeling confident and proud of the way you handled yourself as a parent, even when you were wildly triggered and upset about the mistake your child made. Okay, I'm excited for you to dive into this free resource. I'll see you in my DMs and inside the free discipline bundle. Yes, but securely attached is such a cool. Yeah.
And we're different levels of secure, you know? Like some people are like what I call foot soldiers for the secure, just like, oh my God, give me a break. You know, they grew up in like the Brady Bunch, which is actually a really interesting show from an attachment point of view.
Oh, yeah.
Because they are so secure with each other. They're really open with their feelings. They talk about when they're upset. They rupture and repair. It's the best show. I mean, I grew up on it, so I love it. But anyway,
yeah.
You know, it's really important to remember that, like, we're swimming in good enoughness. Like, we're all attached. And if we're not happy, if we're anxious, if we're, you know, preoccupied, if we're dismissive, if there's something that doesn't feel right in our attachment field, we can work to become more securely attached as adults anytime along the life, in the lifespan. But this language of attached or not attached, it's like, it feels so biblical to me. You know, you're
right.
Like in the Garden of Eden and then you're expelled.
Right.
And it's not like that.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to, you know, share that with you and your readers, I mean, your listeners.
Yeah.
Because it is so hopeful. It is so, you know, it's such a tale of redemption, this whole thing. So I want to recast that for your listeners.
Cool. I love that clarification. And I love that term, swimming in good enoughness.
Yeah.
So good. Yeah. That's so good. And yes, that's a really cool point about the Brady Bunch show. Because so now I'm going to go back and watch it. I never like was a big watcher, but that makes sense to me.
Watch it. It's amazing.
Yeah. And everything you just said, how that is what really allows us to be securely attached. So the ability to do all those things, to have open feelings, to feel them, to express them, to communicate them, to rupture and repair, to feel like we're good enough, even on our days where we make mistakes or,
yep,
you know, unconditionally loved, how that is securely attached. That's really cool. Awesome.
We can be a mess together. We can be a mess together. You know, like that's just last
yeah.
night, we had a kerfuffle at the dinner table and I was just so, you know, COVID is driving me freaking crazy.
Oh, it's freaking nuts right now. I know. It's
a
weird time.
So miserable. I'm used to being alone all day long. And
yeah,
everybody's in the house and I'm cranky. And so we had a thing last night at dinner when, you know, my husband and daughter were like getting into it. And I was just like, stop. Like, I cannot tolerate this anymore. It kept going. And so I actually said, you know what? I'm getting up. Like, I made this beautiful dinner for everybody and y'all are being annoying. So I'm leaving.
Yeah.
And I got into my study and I was just like, I'm going to do some work. And Azalea came in and she was like, please, like, this is hell for me. Can you please like not do this? And I was like, honey, it's okay. You know, families go through difficult moments. And I'm sorry this is difficult for you. I know you'll be okay. And I'm going to take a moment because I don't want to say something that I don't mean and that will hurt. And so I'm going to just take some space and it's okay. And you get to take space too. But I thought that was so interesting that she said, this is hell for me, because what she was saying was that this feeling of not knowing is hell. And to feel like, okay, my parent, this person who is really, she's 14 and a half. I mean, she's almost, you know, she's really quite grown, but she's still a child and she is very dependent on her parent to kind of frame her world. You know, and so if I had said, everything's cool, don't worry about it, that would have been like gaslighty. And that's the kind of stuff that creates major anxiety and attachment insecurity. But if we within ourselves as parents can, you know, tolerate our own discomfort, you know, and our own fear and you know, discomfort, I said discomfort, but you know, like our anxiety, you know, like I was really anxious at the dinner table last night. And I thought the best thing for me to do right now is to move away so that I don't you know, say something mean. And, and that was the best I could do at that time. And I told her that too. I said, I'm doing the best that I can right now. And I'm sorry that you're not happy, but you know, I think we'll make it through this. And so wherever we are, and that's a pretty benign example, you know, but when she was young, I was not always able to walk away. And that was what inspired this, you know, to sit there in that hormonal wash of, oh my God, what am I doing? Yelling at a little kid.
Yeah.
Like, that's just like, oh my God, you know, and the terrible stress of that on my system. And then it just, oh, it was so hard.
It was, yeah, it is. And it was, and so many people are in there right now, right?
And I feel for them. Oh my gosh, they have little kids right now. I do not know how people are managing it.
Yeah, it's, and this idea of just knowing that it's okay to be messy and that you can still be connected is so important, because we talk about that so much in our membership. It's called The Bonfire, and we meet twice a week, and so much of the time, everyone comes to the table, and especially during COVID, and it's like, hey, who's a mess this week? And that's okay. It's not this idea that like family life or raising children is going to be, you're going to arrive and you're going to get to this point where there's like, cool, everything's easy peasy. It's like, it's just not the way it is, right? And so I love this idea of you can kind of regulate, you can move through emotions, and you can even do it in separate rooms. And it's interesting that you tell that story, Bethany, because my daughter has a similar response, because probably similar to your daughter, she's been in entrenched in this kind of world of like everything we're all about for the last 10 years. But at the same time, she's still learning. She's a kid, and she gets really stressed out if I do what you did, right? And she almost will use the same exact words of this is hell for me. She's never used those words,
is amazing that our kids can experience their inner state and report it.
Yes.
That's huge.
Yes, and she's on this big path, and it's cool because so is her dad, about letting mom be super, not even messy, but like, let's just say, let's mom be messy, let mom be angry, let mom, like, you know, be pissed for a little bit and know that everything's going to be okay. Like, that was something that I didn't necessarily have growing up, and there was just always like, is everything okay? I don't know, because this is a freaking mess, you know, where when you can do it in a way where it's like, yeah, this is going to be messy, and I'm going to walk away from the dinner table, and I'm not quite ready to, like, you know, like, hold hands and skip to, like, over to the rainbow and collect, like, butterflies with you.
Right.
And I'm okay. Like,
and
everything's
I love
okay.
Life itself.
And I love you more than life itself. And I just need some space. But like, it's so beautiful to be able to do that, and then stay connected, right? Like, so, I think
that
we're
is advanced practice.
Yes, yes. But I think where we can get in trouble is if we're like, you go over there, I go over here, which is kind of the classic timeout, right? But I mean, it's like, you do, and it's like, well, we can be on opposite sides of the house and still be connected. And that was a clarification I recently kind of realized that was probably happening between her and I, where I was like, hey, I just need some space, but we weren't connected. And so there's just been some small little tweaks that I've made in my own heart too, that have made a difference lately.
Exactly. It's all in your own heart. You know, for me to be able to do that last night, I think, you know, and there was all this talk of, well, mommy's really sensitive right now. And, you know, I was just like, oh my God, you really need to stop talking.
I'm gonna punch someone. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. You know, but I think for me to be able to actually go to the other room and actually still feel connected.
Yes.
That's the thing. Because I'm working on my own, you know, spectrum of dysregulation.
Right.
Where when I get upset, I actually do disconnect. And so it makes sense that the people in my family will feel frightened of that.
Yeah.
Because that is hell when someone you need and love is disconnecting from you. And she's correct about that. Thank God she can express that. And, you know, and the other thing is that sometimes, you know, that question of, is everything okay? Well, what the hell is that supposed to even mean right now? No, actually. Things are totally not okay. You know, we won't get into politics, but life is scary. And I'm not okay. I mean, I'll be the first to admit it.
Yeah.
Do I still love my daughter? Like crazy? Yes. And at the end of the day, you know, I went upstairs. We talked for a long time about tennis schedules. That's always a resource for us. Let's just get into schedules.
It's so funny.
And so we dug deep about like Mondays are this and Thursdays are this. And, you know, we got totally into that. And then at the end of the thing, I said, you know, I love you more than life itself or something to that effect. And she said, I know.
Right.
And it's like we kind of went full circle through the whole thing, you know, and that's and so, you know, I think about, you know, if I'm someone with a baby and listening to this conversation, or a 2-year-old or a 5-year-old or a 7-year-old, like what the hell does that mean if you've got like this out of control? You know, it's easy to do with a teenager, a well-regulated, delightful teenager.
Yeah.
When you're dealing with a baby or a child who's just not able to engage in that way, what do you do then? Then you have to really pray, man, for guidance and support, however you understand that, because it is grace and grace alone that can help us feel like find that regulation. Because if we can't regulate, we cannot regulate our children. And that's at the center of what the science of attachment is. And by the way, that's at the center of every mystical tradition on earth. You know, as my Zen teacher used to say, you and I are the same thing, but I am not you and you are not me. So this is also true from an attachment perspective. Like we're engaged in what's called social releasing. You know, like I smile, you smile. You frown, I frown. Azalea cries, my breasts fill with milk. You know, she, you know, and then you get into like some narcissistic extension stuff. You know, she does well in school, I feel good. That's different.
Right.
I'm talking about like physiological, we are interdependent. You know, when our babies are in our bodies, they are surviving off of our viscera. And this is just the way it is. And so, you know, for us to be able to regulate or help them find themselves, we have to find ourselves. And this is one of those kind of new agey, sounds good little shticks. But, you know, I actually know from the science and from the spiritual practice angle that there is no other way. You cannot give your child what you do not have. And I'm talking emotionally. You can give them money that you didn't grow up with. You can give them a different experience that you didn't grow up with. You know, there are all these behavior. You can put them in a sling because you felt like your parents ignored you. And that can be great. You know, and I have carried Azalea in a sling until she was like 5 years old.
Yeah.
I love it. But if someone doesn't like it and they're trying to do it, they're going to be rageful and resentful. And that's the last thing any child needs.
Yes. It's so fascinating for you to hear you talk about the kind of the self-regulation and the like mirroring of each other. Is this the same kind of idea of like the mirror neurons of like if, okay. And so I've been thinking about this lately and I'd love for your guidance on this, but you know, when I teach my crew about the idea of detachment and being kind of this firm, kind leader of where you want to reset the mirroring, right? Like what is like the science show us behind that as far as like someone, say you, like you were saying, there's a baby, there's a toddler, there's the wild 5-year-old who's a mess and can't self-regulate. And instead of just popping in and matching that and being on, how do you come out and do your own thing so they can then mirror you? It's basically what I'm trying to say, because this idea that self-regulation is at the kind of the center of it all is so true. I have one more important thing that I wanted to be sure to communicate to you today. For all of you who are interested in grabbing our free Compassionate Discipline Learning Bundle, but also just haven't taken action yet to do so, I want to share a quick note I got from a parent who downloaded the free bundle and attended the workshop last week and is already feeling so much better in their heart and their home. She DM'd me on Instagram saying this: I've used the pause button, which is one of the concepts I teach in this bundle and in the workshop, as part of the most important element of compassionate discipline in our homes. But she says, I've used the pause button, and honestly, when I woke up this morning, my anxiety, which has been through the roof lately, felt manageable thanks to your workshop. It's only been a half a day so far, but I can honestly say it's been a good day when my husband asked tonight. I will be watching your replay again tonight and looking into the Fresh Start experience. Thank you for sharing this gift. So look, I know so many of you who are struggling to feel joy when your day is filled with hand-me-down punishment tactics. I want you to get the support you deserve. I want you, like Hoa, that's that sweet mama's name who shared that message with me, I want you to look at your spouse when they get home after a long day and they ask you, hey honey, how was your day? And I want you to be able to look at them and say, good, it was really good. I want you to learn how to soothe your own anxiety and stressed nervous system simply by teaching your kids important life lessons with grace and dignity and connection and firm kindness. So don't wait another day to quick start your learning and shift out of a punishment mindset into a compassionate discipline one, okay? Just head to Instagram, I'm at Fresh Start Wendy, and DM me the word shift, and I'll personally send you the link in a private message to download the free bundle, or just head to freshstartfamilyonline.com/discipline.
No, I just posted on Instagram today a picture of my husband and I at the monastery where we lived, and the caption, because I was just interviewed from the monastery, and it was a great conversation. Everyone should listen to it. ZenMountainMonastery.org or com, I forget. Cool. But the caption was, how can you let go of yourself? What was it? Something like, how can you let go of thoughts and be securely attached at the same time? Mm-hmm. And what I wrote was, actually, it's the same exact thing. So what I mean is that, you know, your question, what can a parent do when they're facing the demon, right, of their child's anger, their child's, you know, discomfort? As much as possible in that moment is the attempt to actually, you know, try to see that that anger is you. And that's an intellectual kind of a thing you can tell yourself, you know, that like our children are our mirrors. And I don't mean that in some kind of a beat yourself up way. You know, it doesn't mean like if your kid sucks at soccer, that means you're a terrible person. It's so, so much more fundamental than all of the kind of social society, kind of in the world things that people often worry about. It's very foundational to who we are. So one of the things that's really helpful is actually looking around the room. My husband is a somatic experiencing therapist.
So
And so looking around the room, orienting, moving your neck, you know, just doing that gives you some space and a deep breath. So this kid is going crazy. Wow, that's me. That's like the craziness inside of me. Let me look around, take a breath, put myself in space. And then, you know, I never know how to ask people to do things in really like checklisty kind of ways.
Right.
Because everybody's going to be in their own experience. And so I would just always invite people to start noticing their experience. Notice what it feels like. And I know that's really freaking hard when your kid is going crazy, but like, you know, notice how your shoulders hunch and your jaw sets and your eyes squint and you start to feel like a monster yourself. And be patient with yourself. Over time, we will start to notice more. And by noticing, that's how we regulate.
Oh, that's such a cool point. Yes. Notice more is what leads to regulation.
Exactly. So that's why a meditation practice is incredibly useful. You know, setting aside even 5-10 minutes every day to sit somewhere and do some kind of meditation practice, any kind of meditation practice, because it builds that muscle of awareness. And the thing that happens when we lose it with our kids is that we literally lose it. We lose ourselves. And that's because we haven't developed the muscle of attention. You know, so developing that muscle You know, and another thing that's really wonderful, Mary Ainsworth, the woman who came up with The Strange Situation, and the my book is part biography of her. She found that one of the most common, one of the things that almost all of the securely attached pairs that she studied in her life was that there was a feeling of mutual delight. Now, not all the time, but delight is this incredible, I mean, to her it was a scientific term. She like studied this in people, like, which I just think is so cool.
Yeah.
You know, what does it mean to delight in someone? And I always give people the example of when Azalea turned 14, I said, you're old enough to start watching Real Housewives with me, because I'm a Real Housewives fanatic.
Yes.
And so, and I just love it. And I'm a big New York fan. We started watching Beverly Hills together, and it's so trashy, but it's such a wonderful way to have these conversations about relationships, about friendships, about body image, about aging, about, yeah, you know, clothes, body, you know, all that stuff. And we delight in it. It's so delightful, but it breaks a lot of rules, right?
Right.
It's not like the wholesome kind of like feminist, you know, that I actually would disagree, but that's another conversation. It's yeah, not what people would imagine as a wholesome thing to do with your teenager. But the fact of the matter is we delight in it together, and it really creates this thing that we can always do. So when we're in like a funk, or when things just aren't going right, or she's in a bad place and then I'm about to get dysregulated, and we inject a little delight. And it's, yeah, like, hey, do you have time for 45 minutes? We can, you know, watch a housewife. And then it's like, yes, let's do it. You so know, cool. And it's so basic. It's so foundational. And so everybody delights in something.
Yes.
And how can we do that with our children? It doesn't have to be delighting in them.
Right.
We all delight in our kids.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that's so funny that you just bring that up, because Stella, who is turning a teenager this year, she's recently been like, she likes to watch Dance Moms, and I've always been like, oh,
I love Dance Moms.
I'm like, it's so trashy, and I'm like so worried. But then lately she's like, Mom, we should watch Kardashians, and I'm like, no, Stella, no, no, no. And then finally one day, just this last week, and I was like, okay, let's just see. You know, I've watched it before, but I was like, let's just see how bad it is. And it was trashy and gnarly, but we both delighted. And then it did open up the doors to have conversations. And I would pause it, and I would just say, you know, just want to make sure you understand what's going on here. Talk to me about it. Like, and so we did it in our own way. But it's so funny, because it was this like very bonding, wonderful thing. And when I look back to my own childhood, and I love my parents so much, but there just feels like we weren't, like I said, we weren't securely attached. Like it was very, like we just lived distant lives.
Okay.
And I just didn't have any
here, but that's,
I know, right? Yeah. I mean, yeah, people, I can't wait to read your book, because, I definitely have so much to learn in this area. I just didn't, the idea of doing something with my mom that I just delighted in together is just sounds so dreamy, and I just didn't.
And guess what? You can do that with Stella every day.
Yeah.
Every day. I see the calendar, yeah, behind you. Azalea's been real, I told you we geek out on scheduling.
Yeah.
She got, you know, we went to Target, we got this stupid calendar, we hung it up, and she loves writing in all of her little things and then crossing the days off. And
yeah,
it's so simple, but you know, I just, and then I ask her about it.
Yeah.
Like, what's on the schedule for today? You know, and like, you could ask Stella, like, what do kids at school say about the Kardashians? Like, educate
right
me. If it's sincere for you.
Kids, yes,
smell BS, you know. If you don't actually, yeah, like it, then find something else. You know, Azalea turned me on to Yummy Mummies.
Mm.
Oh my God. It is hilarious. It's this Australian show about, okay, these young moms and their babies, and they're all really rich, and they get these walk-in closets and this baby stuff, and it's so ridiculous. But Azalea loves it, and she thinks it's so funny, and she is so good with their accents, and she cracks me up.
Oh, I cannot wait to check this one out.
Yeah, but it's delight. And so I think we are so type A about like identity and about, yeah, you know, do-goodness, that we worry so much. And I encourage people to worry less, delight more, And, you know, it's going to be okay. It's not going to be okay. The big things aren't going to be okay. We're in big, big trouble. But we can have amazing, delightful times with our kids at home.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
That's so awesome. Yeah. That's like the perfect ender bender, Bethany. That's so awesome. Oh, well, thank you so much. I can't thank you enough for spending time with us today. Tell listeners where they can find you, where they can get your book, where they can learn more about everything that you're doing in the world. That'd be great.
Sure. So my book is, you know, found anywhere books are sold. Go to your independent bookseller and ask for it and order it if they don't have any more copies. My website is www.bethanysaltman.com. So you can find all my press there, all my podcasts, all the book stuff. I am doing a blog now once a week. So nice. People can come and be on my mailing list and get my weekly blogs. I also do book coaching for people who are interested in writing books. A lot of therapists are coming to me recently, and I'm thinking of starting two classes, one for moms and one for therapists. So that's perhaps in the works. Amazing. And I'm on Instagram, new to Instagram, really enjoying it. And follow me and let's engage. I'd love to hear from people.
I love it. And listeners, we will make sure we put all of Bethany's information in the show notes page so you can find her easily. Thanks again, Bethany. I hope you have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
For links and more info about everything we talked about in today's episode, head to freshstartfamilyonline.com/120. And if you haven't yet, be sure to grab our free learning guide, How to Raise Strong-Willed Kids with Integrity Without Losing Your Mind, over at freshstartfamilyonline.com.
For more information, go to freshstartfamilyonline.com. Thanks for listening, families. Have a great day.
All right, listeners, that's a wrap. I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I enjoyed recording it for you. As we wrap up here, don't forget to DM me the word shift or head to freshstartfamilyonline.com/discipline to grab your free discipline quick start learning bundle. You'll get immediate access to download our extensive learning guide where I'll share 5 ways you can ditch the old school hand-me-down punishment mindset beliefs and thoughts that are causing you to react like a volcano instead of respond like the firm, kind, respectful teacher you are at your core. And then you'll also get immediate access to my on-demand workshop where I'll teach you our 3 core Fresh Start Family strategies that make up a strong, compassionate discipline toolkit, as well as my favorite logical consequences that not only work with kids of all ages, but do wonders to unite you with your child and strengthen your relationship, even in your kids' worst moments. So pop on over to Instagram right now and just shoot me a DM with the word shift, and I'll send you a personal link to download that bundle right away. Or you can head to freshstartfamilyonline.com/discipline to get access immediately. All right, thanks for listening, and I'll see you inside that free bundle and also inside the next episode.